Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson and former Commanders beat reporter Craig Hoffman.
Special bonus edition of Take Command with Logan Paulson. I am Craig Hoffman, and it's a bonus not only because we're giving you an extra episode this week, because we have a bonus box here on the screen, and that box is Zach Ertz. Zach, really appreciate your time, man. Here is training camp's about to get started.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me.
How's the offseason been for you?
It's been great, honestly. It's been one of my best offseasons, I think, in my career. I've loved the whole entire offseason program when we had OTAs, minicamp. And then we've stayed out here all summer training, being at the facility every day. So I think it's been a great offseason so far.
I think for people at home, like, what makes a good offseason? Like, is it just the type of training or how the body's feeling, especially for a guy like at your point in the career?
Yeah, I think a lot of it is how you end last season and how your body feels going into the offseason. Really, the past few years, I've had to do rehab primarily in the offseason just to get back to square one, as you know. And this offseason, obviously last year in Arizona was what it was, and I was able to go into this offseason fully healthy for the first time in a while. And so I was really able to focus on being the best version of myself, getting as explosive as I can, being as detailed as I can in the run game and the pass game. And so for me, I think it's all a physical analysis at this point, how you feel going into camp. And so I feel really good right now.
I know that for a lot of us, when we saw your name pop up, Zach Ertz is going to be a Commander? Whoa. That was pretty surprising. Obviously, I had this kind of similar feeling when Bobby eventually signed as well. For you guys at this stage in your careers, coming here, what was it about, whether it's Cliff, whether it's DQ, whether it's Adam, what was it about this place that made you go, that's where I want to be?
Yeah, I think those three guys played a huge part, Cliff, DQ, and AP, obviously. Those guys have been, or Cliff in particular, has been a huge influence in my career, someone that I loved playing for in Arizona, and was really upset when that tenure ended. And so when I had the opportunity to play for him again, I jumped at it, and I didn't need to go on a free agency and talk to a bunch of teams. I wanted to get it done early so we could start planning how I could be an impactful player in this offense. And I've never really known DQ personally, but from afar, everyone raved about the guy. Everyone raves about how much energy he brings each and every day, how much energy he demands that staff brings every day. And off season, you can feel it. It was one of the most fun times I had doing OTAs, mini camp, just being in the building every day. And I think that speaks to the culture that he demands of everyone around him.
Yeah. And so what about Cliff? Like, that made you want to play for him? Is it the offensive scheme? Is it the utilization? Is it the person? I'm sure it's a combination of all three.
Yeah, it's really all three, like you said. You know, Cliff is a guy that loves football. I think, you know, people see Cliff and he wears these three-piece suits and he thinks that he's not a grinder, but he grinds. He's probably the first one in the building every day, one of the last ones to leave. And he just loves scheming people open. He loves getting his guys the ball. And he wants to put up a lot of points. And as an offensive guy, as a skill position player, that's what you want to do. You want to be able to have your coaches put you in positions to be successful. And I think Cliff does that as good as anyone I've been around.
When you talk about both those guys and kind of the idea of, like, this has been the most fun you've had in an off season, we've talked about it on the show because Logan obviously played for DQ in Atlanta, but for you in the different places that you've been, whether it's Cliff as a head coach or the different coaches you had in Philly, like, what is it about the way Dan and ultimately Cliff on the offensive side runs it that is different, that you're like, wow, this is really cool, I'm really enjoying this?
I think the first thing that jumps out about DQ is just his command of a team meeting room in particular. You know, I've been around a lot of coaches now, and some of them aren't the best at leading men, and that couldn't be further from the truth with Dan. He's a guy that commands every single person's attention he demands, and not only from the players but from the staff. He views everyone in the building that they have a very important role in this operation. And I think when you build people up like that, when you build a culture of very high expectations that people want to be in, through the energy that people bring every day, it just makes it fun coming to work every day. And this job is hard enough. This job is demanding. It's very fun at times when you're winning and not so fun at times when you're losing. But if you're able to do it with really good people, it makes those bad times seem like, hey, you can really get through anything. I think the culture that he's bringing to this organization, the city, I think the sky is going to be a limit for this place.
Another big part of this new organization, obviously, is Jaden Daniels. And I think you're like kind of in a unique spot to talk about that, because obviously you're with Carson Wentz in Philly when he was a young pup, and you're with Kyler Murray as a young player. Like, what have you seen from him, and like, what's your expectation from him as like kind of like the vet in the offense, having been around some of these other really good football players?
Yeah, I think Jaden, obviously, the physical tool stand out right away. He can make every throw. He stands tall in the pocket. It's easy to catch the ball. It's very effortless for him. And we haven't really been able to see his ability to escape and make those elusive plays in the open field like he did at LSU. But I think the thing that sticks out about Jaden, you know, he almost has like a gravitational aspect to him. He's just one of the guys. Guys want to be around him. He brings that team camaraderie. He loves the game. He loves the process. And so for me, I think that's one of the things that's very unique about him, a guy that pretty much he won the Heisman. He was a second overall draft pick. He just views himself as one of the guys. And I think that goes a long way, especially in this business, especially in that position. And that's not always the case.
All right, Zach, now's the part of the podcast that all the people listening have been waiting for, which is where I get the hell out the way, because Logan has this phrase that he has used to describe you, which he goes, he just understands the dark arts of route running. So now you and Logan are just going to get to talk about the dark arts of the route running, and I'm going to sit back and shut up. Logan, go ahead.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, so I think the thing that, you know, obviously when I watch you play, like, is you are obviously very athletically gifted, but you're not like Vernon Davis. And, like, yeah. I just want you to kind of talk through your route running process. You know what I'm saying? How you see it, like, and then what are you emphasizing? Let's say you're running like a corner versus outside leverage. I saw you do this a bunch during OTAs. I've seen you do it a bunch during your career. Like, what's the process, and how do you gain leverage on this route, and how do you get like all these open targets for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, thank you for those compliments, and I agree, I'm not Vernon Davis.
No one's Vernon Davis, man. Only
no
one.
No one is Vernon. But I think the key, you know, I've seen so many coverages post-snap that now I can really identify most coverages pre-snap based on how linebackers are aligned or safeties are aligned. And they can only disguise so much, especially the linebackers, because they have to kind of be where they're going to end up in the run game. So I get so many tips pre-snap that I know how to attack the guy early in the route. You know, so many people want to take a couple steps into a route, and then they're going to make the move at that 5 yards into the route. Say you're in a 10-yard route on a corner, and most people have to wait from the 5 to 10 yard mark to really understand what coverage they're getting and how to break down the leverage at that point. But I feel like I can identify the coverage at the 0 yards. And so I have 10 yards to really attack a guy and make him think I'm doing something else. And so I just feel like I have an extra amount of space to manipulate defenders. And I understand the coverages. I know where they don't want to get beat. And so at the top of the route, I want it to all make it all look like I'm running deep. But in reality, I already have got my leverage so early in the down that now I really am almost head up to them at the break point.
So what's an example of something that you would like use as a tell pre-snap? You know what I mean? I think that's something that like young football players, something that during my career I wish I would have been more astute with, is just like taking the time pre-snap to identify coverage. What are some things that you're looking at? And then like to kind of put yourself in the best position to be successful, like you were talking about later in the route.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends, obviously, if you're in three receiver side to, or the two.
Let's talk about, yeah, like get nerdy with it. So you're to the three receiver side, you're number three, right?
Yeah.
It's split safety to start, right? And yeah, they're going to roll to something else. Like, what are you looking at that box at the beginning of the play?
So it's really the linebacker that is to me.
Okay.
It's really the triangle, the safety to you, the linebacker to you, and the nickel outside of you.
Yeah.
And if they're going to stay in split safety, that Mike linebacker is going to be pushed a little more to you, because he's got to carry you vertical. He can't just let you run up the field uncovered. If they're going to run weak rotation away, which means safety is coming to the backside, those two linebackers are either going to be pushed way over, or there's going to be a big split in the middle, which means they're rotating the safety in between the two guys.
In between,
guys.
Yeah.
And then if the safety is going to roll down to me, the mic is still going to be in that kind of A-gap area, because he knows his run fit is over there, and so the safety is going to roll down to me. Teams want to give you and it's not really for us. It's more for the quarterback. They want to disguise so many things. But in my opinion, people don't view the linebackers as much as they should. And obviously the receivers on the outside can't do it. But the linebackers really can't tell. They really can't disguise too much because they have to be so in tune with their run fit, in my opinion.
That's interesting. And also they're athletically not quite the same coverage guys. So they have to kind of cheat and manipulate. So in that look, in that split safety look, right? They're not rolling. He's pushed over top. You have a corner. Let's say it's like, post corner concept, right? How are you running that route versus that overhanging safety there?
Well, if I have the option to take the middle against middle field open, I'm going to take it in that look, obviously. And so from that point, I already know I have the safety to me beat. So it's really keeping my space away from the backside safety. So I just want to stay nice and thin down the hash, like run a straight line down the hash and do not bend it too far, because at that point you're worried about the backside safety.
Sure.
Obviously the post in the NFL in 3x1 is not the ideal.
I'm saying you got the corner. Yeah, it's like number one's got the post. You have the corner. Like, I don't know what you call it. I call it scissors. Some people call it.
Yes, if I had scissors and they were playing some type of shell, I'd want to attack the Mike linebacker, the guy that was pushing to me in quarters or cover two, and make him hold his landmark as far away from my goal as I would want to be.
And so you're going to inside stem, right?
Inside stem away.
To hold that guy?
Yeah, right.
And that's something you see young tight ends do all the time, is they think, I got to run away from that leverage player, that Mike. So they kind of take an outside release, and then the Mike closes the window on the corner, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's like such, and it's a subtle thing, right? It's something very, very small, but it creates a ton of separation if you do it correctly.
Yeah, and I think that's my whole goal for most routes, is to identify where they do not want me to go, and then attack that from the beginning. Because even if I'm running an out route and the guy has inside leverage, if I just run straight or run out, he's just going to shuffle, and almost just cover me by default.
Yeah.
Whereas if I can hold his feet square and then make at the very top, then it's a who's more athletic, who can get out of their break better. I feel like I'm going to win that matchup every time.
Sure.
It's when I'm running, if they're already running and I'm going straight and they can just kind of run with me, then they're going to have a chance. So for me, I'm always trying to attack their leverage based on the coverage where they cannot get beat.
Is that something that you have to work on, like with your quarterback, to make sure that they see it the same way as you? Or is the quarterback just trusting that you're going to win to space and you're going to ensure the space with your stem?
Yeah, I think obviously there's some trust, because in a lot of times I'll get very wide and they aren't sure if I'll be able to really get back to the spot where I'm supposed to be.
Right.
And so they get a little thrown off that they get worried. They see me lose leverage per se. If I want to break on a slant and the guy's outside leverage, I'm not just going to run straight and run a slant because the window is, I don't know where my kid this big. Whereas if I outside stem and break in, the window's about twice as big.
Right.
So for me, it's just little things like that, and that comes with reps. And obviously with Jaden, we're going to have to get on the same page. We don't have years and years on task, but that's what training camp's for, is to get on the same page and talk about it, watch film together, and discuss how I do certain things. And at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter how I view things. The quarterback needs to be the one that sees it primarily, because if I'm not on his timing or if I'm not doing it how he wants it, it really – I shouldn't do it that way. And so it's all about getting those reps in to make it so he sees it the same way. And obviously I can show him examples. I can show him hopefully wins and training camp practices. But if he doesn't see it the same way, it doesn't matter.
Has he, this is maybe a stupid question, has he had any pushback on stuff you've done and then you've been able to change his mind or vice versa?
There's some things that I feel like I improved on based on our interaction in the spring. I feel like for a lot of my career, I'm very friendly. I try and be very, very friendly for the quarterback. And
you do a great job of that, by the way. And friendly, when you say friendly, you just mean like you're just shaving the angle, right?
Yeah. And against man coverage, that's what you want to do. But sometimes I get so enamored with getting to a spot and presenting a target that against zone coverage, you want to keep it high, and that's where the big plays come. And so maybe you leave kind of some yards on the table because of that habit of keeping it flat and breaking away from guys when it's on coverage and there's no one really on top of you to break away from. So we had a few examples of that in springtime where I just was like, hey, I probably should have ran this a little differently. And it's more on me than it is on you.
Well, and also that's just getting used to him though, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, I remember when I was with Matt Ryan, and again, I'm not like this great route runner or anything, but he was really big on like keeping that high angle on the corner. Yeah. You know, but like when I was with Kirk, he wanted me to break it flat because it made it clear. The throw was cleaner for him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like Matt was all about distributing that high low and cover two on that corner.
Yeah.
And I just think it's preference. And so like it's you learning what he's about in terms of that concept.
Yep. 100%.
Is this something, Zach, that you've thought this way your entire career since you got out of college, you know, going back to high school, whatever? Or is there a point in your NFL career where you're like, oh, I figured something pretty significant out here and it changed who you were as a player?
Yeah, I think, you know, when you're young and you get the playbook and you really don't have a lot of freedom or leeway. They want you to run it exactly how it's drawn on the paper. And there's not a lot of freedom in that regard. And I think as you have some success or you see different coverages, you start to experiment a little more, especially in the off-season settings, where the coaches aren't worried about their job every Sunday or every single day. I feel like my best seasons have come off my best off-seasons because I've been able to get on the same page with the quarterback. I've been able to – the coaches have put me in different spots that maybe they wouldn't have if I wasn't able to show what I was doing in the off-season. And so I think it is something that takes time to kind of develop your style of route running. Because like I said, especially for me in particular, when I was young, I wanted to do everything so, so perfect and overstress that stuff, that I just wanted to do whatever the coaches told me to do. And I still obviously do that. But I also have a little more personality to it now.
I think you should tell Cliff to buzz off. Just be like, I got it, Cliff. Don't worry about it. You and your bucket hat, you stay over there. When you talk to a young guy like Sinnott, then are you like, hey, just worry about what's on paper first, you'll figure it out in the long term? Or how much of this personality and, you know, helping him find his own personality do you encourage him to do in going into his first training camp?
Yeah, I think when you're going into your first year, I let a lot of the coaches do a lot of the coaching. I don't want to overwhelm him with things. Obviously, you see so many young players at the run, a 4.4, 4.5 or whatever it is, and they just get overwhelmed with information and they just play so slow. And so I tell all these rookies come in and I'm not, like you said, I'm not Vernon Davis, but I feel like every time I'm on the field, I want to show all of my speed. That's the best. I want to put that on film each and every snap when I run a route. And these guys that come in, they think so much and they just end up playing so much slower. And so my message a lot of the times is, don't worry about being perfect right now. Make some mistakes. Just play as fast as you can, and then you can coach off that. Because you can't really coach off someone if he's thinking too much or slow. There's not much to coach then.
Yeah, and I think like you just you, when you were talking about that, you reminded me of this tight end coach I had, and he had coached Jason Witten, and like there are a lot of similarities between you and Witt from like a understanding coverage standpoint. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And one of the things that I took away from those conversations was like own the snap count, get into the defense vertically fast, and it doesn't matter if you run a 4.8. If you get off with the receiver, like there's times where you watch slow tight ends and you pause it and they're even with the receivers because they're being aggressive to get into the coverage. And I just think that's so important. But also, like, you know, not overwhelming a young guy is extremely important also. So it's a fine line to walk. Do you impart any information to them that is actionable? Or are you like kind of just like if they want to come to you, they come to you? Or do you have like a thing you're like, hey, man, let's look at this for today?
I'm more of I want them. I'll help them in the meeting rooms. Especially we have a really good tight end coach, David Rye.
Yeah,
and he'll ask me my opinion, and for me, that's a lot more comforting than to just blurt out kind of my opinions all the time. And if they're going to ask me 100 times of my opinion, I'll give it to them. But that doesn't mean it's going to be right 100 times.
Right.
It's just my experience. So I try, and there's obviously a fine line in that regard. Because I've been doing this as my 12th year, so I've seen a lot of coverages and whatnot. But I am an open book, and I tell all the tight ends that. If you have any question, it doesn't matter what time of day, you can text me, you can send a clip from practice that you want me to look at. I will give you my honest opinion in anything and everything you want to. But I find it difficult to just going to guys and telling them how to do certain things.
All right, last thing for you, Zach. Totally topic change real quick on the way out. What's it been like for you as a player since becoming a dad? I know Julie talked about it a lot when she came back with Angel City of how different it was for her being a mom. What about for you being a dad and an NFL player?
It's been amazing, obviously, with another one on the way. And so it just changes your perspective, really. You know, especially when I was young, my faith changed me a lot, and then being a dad also changed me a lot. And oftentimes I would come home if I had a great day. I was a really good person, really good boyfriend, really good son. If I was in a bad day or bad thing, I would just be a bad person and whatever. And so for me, I think coming home, being able to be a dad and just focus on him and not focus really on what happened in the office and just being present with him and not taking work home has been the biggest blessing I could have ever asked for. And obviously being a dad is so, so fun. And I love every bit of it.
That's awesome, dude. Congrats to you and Julie and Madden on the new edition coming, and definitely best of luck this season getting started here later this week.
All right, guys. Appreciate you.